Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Be'ez Hashem, BPW, share number 141. That's Bais Pnimi Share for Women, share number 141. We're going to talk today about what people call the elephant in the room or the elephant in the bedroom, the idea of talking about sex. And it seems like people have a lot of difficulty with this, and it's very important to communicate clearly about the sexual relationship with one another. Many spouses think they're communicating, but they're assuming that their spouses read their minds. This happens with all areas of communication in marriage, which we have so many shiurim about discussing how to have open communication about even uncomfortable subjects in a clear, kind way. But we did not talk often about how to do this when it comes to the sexual relationship between a husband and a wife. And many marriage counselors found that most couples spend time in the sexual relationship doing it, or unfortunately in some cases not doing it, but less than 0.1% actually talks about it. And that needs to change. It seems to be that there was a study that both men and women do believe that the opposite sex is not interested in discussing the details of their bedroom behaviors with one another. But what's interesting is that these very same men and women said that open communication about sex was important to them personally. So what happens is most couples rarely communicate clearly about their likes and dislikes in the bedroom, even though they know that that's a very important thing to do. Now, people will often say, you know, when bringing this up, talk about sex with my husband, you know, that's not natural. And although many spouses are uncomfortable talking about sex, sometimes it could be out of frustration, sometimes it could be out of embarrassment, sometimes it could be out of feeling it's not tzniyistic, or it's not honorable, or it's not bakoveid, it's not koveid of a bas melech to talk about these things, but they actually need to. Why? Why do they need to? Because the sex aspect is one of the most important parts of marriage. And when a couple's sexual relationship is out of balance, it affects the rest of the marriage. We had enough shiurim saying the reverse, which is equally true, that if you focus just on the sexual and neglect the other emotional and spiritual parts of the marriage, it will deteriorate. We said many, many times that concept. Over here, it's important to understand the opposite side of that. That the sexual relationship, is one of the most important parts of the marriage relationship. And when that's out of balance, it affects the rest of the marriage. Because sex will not get better, it will not get more satisfying if you don't communicate about it. So the idea being is that although many spouses are uncomfortable talking about sex, whether out of frustration or embarrassment or believing it's not sneistic or not honorable or not tyridic or whatever it is, they actually need to. The good news is the reverse is true. If they do talk about it correctly, the right way, it will only get better. Not only the sexual aspects will get better, the marriage overall will get better. What keeps us from talking about it? There's many reasons. We flounder about it. A lot of it is indeed because of overexposure of wrong sexual messages coming from our culture, the romance novels, the movies, and so on and so forth, which is completely unhealthy. So we either, because of that overexposure in the wrong way, we don't talk about it at all, or in very, very minimal ways. And we don't know how. We don't know how to do it. We don't know how to express our sexual needs once we're married in the right way. It's not that most of us, I mean, you know, I can't speak for everyone who's listening, but many, it's not that they don't want to talk about it, but they don't know how to talk about it, unsure or fearful how to bring it up. Especially you were taught, you're not to say something that's outward explicitly. Talk, you know, about your desire, about something when you're actually, you should try to figure out to do it in an indirect way. But again, it can't be at the expense of your husband not understanding where anything's coming from. And in communication, sometimes you do have to be explicit. You could ask a shayla if you'd like, but if there's a miscues and if it's holding back the shalom bias where you're not understanding each other's language, then you can ask the shayla, and most rabbanim will tell you if sometimes in order to get to that shalom bias, in order to get to that place, you need to spell it out, even though technically it may not seem sneistic. Most rabbanim will tell you, go ahead and do that. Once you're both on the fully on the same page, and you want to go back to certain code languages or more indirect ways, then you do so, of course. But to get to that point of avoiding miscommunications or hurt feelings or vague things, then you need to be explicit. Sometimes people don't talk about the sexual because they were involved in negative sexual activity prior to that, whether it's pornography, whether it's other things, whether it's chat rooms, whether it's reading or knowing they watch things they shouldn't have watched, and it's confusing to them because it has that mixture of the unhealthy elements. So now they're not comfortable talking about intimate topics with their husbands. And I'm going to tell you women that, again, because I did volunteer work even before I started these groups about 3 years ago, or 10 years prior to that, I volunteered in all these websites and other things, and some were in regarding these areas. And unfortunately, it was sort of stereotypically understood that pornography and those type of things were a male issue, a male challenge, and not a female challenge. The visual stimulation of things are definitely more men-oriented that way, while women less so, but it's not true these days. Unfortunately, there are many, many women that are addicted to pornography. There are many women that fell into physical intimate relationships with other girls in seminaries. It's more common than, which really sort of surprised me, but just bringing it up now because it is important as far as madrach, your daughters, or if you yourself saw this or fell into this, you need to work through it. But sometimes those type of things in the past will help you, you'll have a hard time communicating in a healthy way with your husband about these subjects. But you have to figure out how to overcome those things and remove yourself from those things so that you could talk in your marriage about these subjects in a healthy way to enhance your sexual relationship with your husband in a healthy way. It's a big elephant in the room. We want to acknowledge it. Sometimes we don't want to acknowledge it, but even when we want to acknowledge it, we tiptoe around it and hoping that if we don't mention it, everything will be okay. The truth is, like we said, all uncomfortable topics we have to learn how to overcome and express it the right way, but we need to learn how to communicate about this. So how do we do that? How does a husband ask his wife for sex? How does a wife communicate her sexual needs and desires? How does a husband and wife sit down and talk about it? So those are subjects that we're going to discuss. What do you say? And they dance around the topic with vague statements. And how freeing would it be if you could share that language in a clear, honest way that's forthright? How freeing it would be for a wife to be able to be aware of her own sexual urges and needs and say to her husband, this is what I need, this is what I want, in a healthy, safe way. It doesn't always have to be direct. We talked about it. If you're concerned about the tznius aspects, you could ask a shayla until the communication gets better. But there's many ways to be clear and yet be tzniistic. But you can't miss the boat. You have to convey the message in a clear way. And sometimes a husband will mention to the wife or something, or both, either way, we hadn't had a chance to cuddle or be with each other for a few days. Could we save energy and rest up and prepare tonight? And to keep that invitation open-ended in a way that's not demanding. I spoke on the husband's side. He needs to do this in a way that's not a demand or a pressure on you. And you could sometimes respond, I gladly accept that invitation, looking forward. And sometimes you could say, today I'm exhausted, and it's not about you, it's just that I'm drained. Maybe tomorrow would be better. So that's a clear yes and no. This goes both ways. A no has to be in a way that communicates an openness, not a rejection. Okay? So in other words, I spoke about to the husbands, when they say no, the same thing applies. And when you say no, it applies. When you say no, you give a reason for the no. You're exhausted, you're tired, and assure your husband that there's nothing wrong with him. You're not saying no. You're not saying no. You're just saying not today. And clear and honest communication eliminates that second guessing and that agmas nefesh that comes from a feeling of rejection. So you take the word no as an emphatic no period out of the vocabulary. Talk to our husbands that when a wife is very interested and for whatever reason he's exhausted or he can't just say no period. He has to replace that no with a not now. Not now, but tomorrow or in 2 days. But that not now cannot be a push-off. It cannot be like Lehavdil mentioned this, where Yehuda, when it was time to, his third son, Er Va'ainan, were both married to Tamar and they died. And now Shayla was young and Tamar was expecting Yehuda to give Shayla over to Tamar in Yibam, however it would work. And Yehuda didn't want to do that. Again, halachically, he's worried that, she's a katlanis, whatever the svaris were, but Yehuda said, I'm going to wait till he gets a little older. And Rashi says there that he pushed her off with straw, which means that he never intended to give over Shayla to Tamar. Tamar understood that, and through Nevuah, she did what she needed to do. And again, we're not going to get into whole sugya over that, but clearly in that pasuk, according to the simple meaning of the verse, Yehuda pushed her off, but the push off was really a rejection completely. He had no intention of giving Shayla over to Tamar. We can't do that in this lahavdil. We can't do this in this relationship. Not now. And maybe a different night, you can't say that or do that if you don't actually deliver and practice that different night, tomorrow it will happen, and deliver on that. That's very, very important. And the idea is that you talk about the sexual until it feels natural. It has to feel natural. It's not a lack of tznius to talk about it until it feels natural. It's private between you and your husband, and so on and so forth. They have to talk about these things. I will talk for a moment graphically here as an example. If the house is quiet, there's no kids are, young kids are all sleeping, or you know for sure it's private and there's no problem with as far as sneeze of other people observing, and you're washing dishes, your husband comes over and starts going under your shirt and starts fondling your breasts and so on and so forth while you're doing dishes. So he's giving a clear indication that he wants to have sex, that he wants to be with you. You have to talk about it. You know, some women, they're totally not used to this. It'll be shocking to them. They'll get angry or frustrated or confused or, react in that way. And then he'll get hurt and consider it a rejection. Or the husband may not be doing this, thinking, I'm an honorable person. My wife would kill me if I try to do this. She wouldn't want it. And in reality, the wife really would want this to take place, would want this out of the bedroom initiation sometimes, would want those type of things, but they never talked about it. So there's always that sort of either sadness or frustration or miscommunication with the both of them because they never talked about these things. So they need to talk about these things. Now, not to say, every couple is different and one may want more this thing and one may not want more this thing, of the example I just gave as just one simple example of a sexual type of advance, not in the bedroom, in not the regular time, as long as it's tzniistic, which again is appropriate if they're both on the same page. It's appropriate even if one is happy about it and one isn't, as long as they communicate about it and as long as there's no real rejection of it. But these things need to be discussed and talked about. He may desire to do something like that, and a wife may not want to, or the reverse could happen. She really would want it, but is embarrassed to say that she would want this, or sometimes yes and sometimes no. So these things need to be discussed openly with one another. It could avoid miscommunication. And it could be that after a deep communication with the both of you, you both may decide we should never do something like that. You both could decide that on occasion you would. Or you both could decide that, yes, we're all for it, and we should try to do this to put a spark and spice into our intimate married life by sometimes doing these surprising things and expecting sometimes these surprises to take place. And if you decide that these surprising things should take place and you both agree on it, but it happened to be a wrong night, sometimes you're in a good mood and you're doing the dishes and he does something like this and you're very happy about it. And there's sometimes where you're very stressed out or you may be even upset about something and he tries doing this and you're annoyed about it. But even in the annoyance, at least you know it's coming from a good place And you know, you could make it clear to him, like, again, not a no, but not now, right? And then he'll understand, and so on and so forth. But the idea is that these clear ways to communicate about our needs to have sex and the foreplay of it and all of that is very important to discuss. Or it's an early night and no one's around, let's go to bed early and open invitation for that, decide how to work it, how to navigate around it. So the idea being, one last thing I do want to add to this discussion here is that you talked to HaKadosh Baruch Hu about this too. It sounds strange, but b'chol derechecha da'eil. You know Hashem in all your ways. Every single aspect of life, Hashem is there with you. There's no reason not to talk to Hashem about this aspect. If a couple needs help in this area, you talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu about it. You ask Hashem for siyata d'shmaya. Help me do this the right way. Help me communicate these things the right way. Help me do it in a way that will enhance our shalom bayis physically, emotionally, and spiritually. And in the sexual realm too. You don't hide from that, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whatever's bothering you, or you need siyata d'shmaya, how to communicate with your husband about these things in a healthy way, and you're not sure how to go about doing it, or whatever it is, you ask Hashem for help in this area. Like with every other thing in life, they ask Hashem to help you in that area. And you continue to do that, and you'll have siyata d'shmaya. But the idea of talking about these things is very important, very healthy, of course, the right way, channel the right way, and may you all have siyata d'shmaya that this should enhance that part of the relationship that will spread through to all parts of the marriage relationship with your husband. Bracha v'atzlacha.